Day 400, Sunday, May 5th. 1 Kings 11 and 2 Chronicles 9 29-31. 1 Kings 11 1-43 NKJV. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, "Because you have done this, and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless I will not do it in your days, for the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem which I have chosen." Now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was a descendant of the king in Edom. For it happened, when David was in Edom, and Joab the commander of the army had gone up to bury the slain, after he had killed every male in Edom, because for 6 months Joab remained there with all Israel, until he had cut down every male in Edom, that Hadad fled to go to Egypt, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him. Hadad was still a little child. Then they arose from Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them from Paran and came to Egypt, to Pharaoh king of Egypt, who gave him a house, apportioned food for him, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him his wife the sister of his own wife, that is, the sister of Queen Tapenes. Then the sister of Tapenes bore him Genubath his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. So when Hadad heard in Egypt that David rested with his fathers, and that Joab the commander of the army was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to my own country." Then Pharaoh said to him, "But what have you lacked with me, that suddenly you seek to go to your own country?" So he answered, "Nothing, but do let me go anyway." And God raised up another adversary against him, Rezon the son of Eliada, who had fled from his lord, Hadadezer king of Zobah. So he gathered men to him and became captain over a band of raiders, when David killed those of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt there, and reigned in Damascus. He was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the trouble that Hadad caused, and he abhorred Israel, and reigned over Syria. Then Solomon's servant, Jeroboam the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite from Zereda, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. And this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the Millo and repaired the damages to the city of David his father. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. Now it happened at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite met him on the way, and he had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field. Then Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him, and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you, but he shall have 1 tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me, and worshipped Ashtoreth the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh the god of the Moabites, and Milcom the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes and keep my statutes and my judgments, as did his father David. However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, because I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes. And to his son I will give 1 tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself, to put my name there. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. And I will afflict the descendants of David because of this, but not forever." Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. 2 Chronicles 9:29-31 NKJV. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer concerning Jeroboam the son of Nebat? Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David his father, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his place. Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading plan states, for all his wisdom, for all his marvelous insight, for all his education, Solomon drifted away from God. Wisdom is good, and much to be desired, but Solomon never learned, or learned much too late if Ecclesiastes was his end of life reflection, that there is one thing that is far above wisdom and much more to be desired than all the wealth that Solomon's wisdom brought him, a faithful heart yielding to the commands of God. When God gives gifts to people, he allows those people the choice of whether to use them or not. Every Christian can either use or not use the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Apostle Paul admonished the evangelist Timothy to stir up the gift that is in you, 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6. And why he admonishes all Christians not to stifle or suppress that gift, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. 1 Kings 11 begins by succinctly stating the cause of Solomon's idolatry, But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. As we read earlier, many of Solomon's wives and concubines were undoubtedly the result of foreign alliances, as was the custom of the day. God knew these customs, and he commanded Israel's kings not to engage in them. While certain alliances were apparently permitted, with the understanding that God was the true source of security, multiple wives for the king as a consequence of the alliances were not. Nor were marriages to women of peoples God had expressly forbidden. Solomon, then, disobeyed, even though he most likely knew of these prohibitions. Compare Deuteronomy 17:18-20, Deuteronomy 7:1-4. It is explicitly stated that Solomon turned away from God when he was old, 1 Kings 11:4. Of course, he couldn't have been that old, as he apparently didn't reach the age of 60. Jameson, Fawcett and Brown's commentary notes regarding Solomon's apostasy in verse 4, he could not have been more than 50. Still, a man's vitality naturally diminishes with age. No doubt Solomon's wives, having never given up their gods, continually pressured him concerning their religion and how certain forms of worship were required of them. Although Solomon penned Proverbs 27:15-16, he likely became a victim of its dynamics. And no doubt this idolatry came upon him by degrees, starting small and increasing over time. Perhaps he first allowed his wives to possess small images. Gradually, perhaps, the idols became bigger, required shrines and demanded rites and ritual. However it happened, it surely did not happen all at once. Sin usually increases through neglect and compromise over time. Solomon's example should serve as instruction for God's people today to not compromise with his revealed ways and to shun intermarriage with anyone who is not spiritually like-minded. See 2 Corinthians 6:11-18, 1 Corinthians 7:39. The result of Solomon's compromise and idolatry was that ultimately Israel would be split into two rival kingdoms. Solomon's son would not be the king of a wealthy nation with worldwide trading interests, but the potentate of a small kingdom with greatly reduced wealth and little power. Even before the rupture of the kingdom, God allowed the peace and security Solomon had inherited, nurtured and enjoyed, to be taken away by an increasing number of adversaries and unfaithful allies. Turning away from the simple and plain commands of God never results in greater peace and happiness, but always in frustrating and persistent problems that rob us of the life and peace God wants us to enjoy. The consequences of Solomon's idolatry continued to accumulate. Jeroboam was an industrious soldier who came to Solomon's attention. Seeing his diligence, Solomon appointed Jeroboam to oversee the workforce of the house of Joseph. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite. Ahijah met Jeroboam and declared that God would rend the kingdom, 10 tribes, away from Solomon's son and give it to him instead. And he informed Jeroboam that all this would happen because of Solomon's idolatry. Word of this transaction reached Solomon, and his reaction shows just how far from his wisdom Solomon had fallen. He tried to have Jeroboam murdered. What folly! If God has appointed a thing to happen, can a mere man, even one as intelligent and powerful as Solomon, frustrate the plans of the Almighty? Nevertheless, Solomon foolishly thought that he could end the Lord's plan by dispensing with Jeroboam. Solomon did have good reason to fear Jeroboam, though. Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, an accomplished soldier, and very industrious. Two qualities that make for a strong leader. But more importantly, Jeroboam was an Ephraimite who, as a result of his position managing the Ephraimite workforce, had no doubt cultivated relationships with the wealthy and powerful of that tribe. Given the long-standing rivalry between Ephraim and Judah, Solomon's tribe, Solomon had every reason to view Jeroboam as a very potent rival to his throne. Indeed, there was more than mere rivalry between Ephraim and Judah. Even during David's kingdom, the northern tribes of Israel were cautious and reluctant about accepting a king from Judah. Solomon's hold on the northern tribes was thus perhaps somewhat tenuous anyway. They were probably willing to assert their independence from Judah any time they no longer liked the political arrangement, and Solomon would surely have been well aware of this. That Jeroboam was able to flee to Egypt for protection also implies that the alliance Solomon had forged with Egypt through his marriage to the daughter of Pharaoh was now either failing or already defunct. The Pharaoh gave Jeroboam protection in the hopes of allying Jeroboam to Egypt. Thus, at the end of Solomon's life we see foreign enemies in the north, southeast and south, and a rival to the throne being given protection by the powerful and influential ruler of Egypt. In Ahijah's declaration, we see that the kingdom was to be taken from Solomon and given to Jeroboam. The kingdom is further defined as 10 tribes. Why is this? Solomon's son Rehoboam would naturally retain leadership of his own tribe, Judah. But as a concession for David's sake, God allowed one other tribe, Benjamin, to be subject to Solomon's son as well. There is good reason for this. When David became king of all Israel, he moved his capital from Hebron, the Judahite capital, to Jerusalem, a city lying just within Benjamite territory but administered by Judah. This was as a concession to the northern tribes. By moving to Jerusalem, David became less Jewish, so to speak, and more Israelite, and therefore more acceptable to the northerners. If Rehoboam had lost all the other tribes, including Benjamin, he, as a Judahite, would likely have been forced back to Hebron at some point, probably under Israelite pressure, abandoning Jerusalem and the temple. By allowing Solomon's son to continue to reign over Benjamin, God continued a powerful geographical motivation to keep Jerusalem as the center of Judah's government and the seat of God's worship. And, 2 Chronicles 9, verse 29, these books were all lost. Edo is also mentioned in 2 Chronicles 12:15 and 13:22, where he is called a prophet instead of a seer. He appeared to author several books. Some have suggested Edo may be the same as Oded, the father of Azariah. Verse 31, City of David equals Jerusalem. 1 Kings 11, verse 5, Ashtoreth, aka Astarte, was the chief female deity of the Phoenicians. Baal was their chief male deity. She has been identified with the moon and also the planet Venus. Milcon, aka Moloch, was the god of fire and was worshipped through the abomination of human sacrifices. Verse 7, Chemosh was the god of the Amorites and Moabites. In Numbers 21:29, the people of Moab were called the people of Chemos. Verse 38, like the promise to Solomon, this promise to Jeroboam is also conditional. If you heed all that I command you,